You don't have to be perfect. And that's actually another thing that, lots of teenagers come to me. You know, the reason they're being unkind to themselves is because they want to be perfect.
You're listening to a new episode of Empathy Always Wins. Jasmine, thank you so much for coming on Empathy Always Wins. I know we're just talking about so much, but before just jumping in, I'm really excited to have you. And before we kind of talk a little bit more about what we have in store for today, who is Jasmine Navarro to our guests that really want to get to know more about you today?
Thank you so much, Ali, for inviting me on. Wow, that is a massive question. Who am I? That's like such a big question. I'm Jasmine. I'm a coach, and my passion is working with teenagers and teaching them to be kind to themselves.
Can you tell me a little bit more? Yeah, this is amazing. And of course, knowing a lot more about you, we can definitely dive in like 100 different directions here. But I think, you know, you're someone that has a very unique passion when it comes to serving adolescents. And I think, you know, as I was talking to you before jumping in the show, many service providers, many people just don't see adolescents as like just the most desirable, the most, and frankly, you're someone that really cares about that neglected, let's say, demographic. Why so? What inspired you?
I think, and you're so right, actually, because every time I tell anybody I'm working with teenagers, they always say, no way. That's always the reaction. So yeah, you're definitely right there. I think it probably comes from my personal story when I was a teenager and the struggles I went through. I think, I'm guessing that's why. And so that's how it started. And, you know, I just wanted to help teenagers and provide them with tools and techniques that I never had, you know, when I was growing up. And, you know, I feel like they're quite simple tools and techniques that could have changed my life, you know, made it a lot easier. So I think, why not, you know, provide and give teenagers what I didn't have. So, and I do love working with them as well. And like we were talking about before, you know, their level of awareness is just so much greater as well. And they're so open, you know, ready to take on new challenges, new ways of thinking. So I just love it. And they inspire me.
So it's so inspiring that, number one, you find inspiration in that. But it's also very interesting to me when I look at someone like yourself doing the impact that you're doing here and also just around the world, especially. But I have this almost burning desire to understand a little bit more. What impacts adolescence in our times today that might just be overlooked? Like, what are adolescents going through, and why should we care about this as people listening to the show, and how can we be part of that? Like, I think, you know, just don't know much about what you're seeing on a day to day. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, I think, well, definitely. I mean, some of the problems, you know, they come to me, a lot of, in fact, it's all connected. At the end of the day, most teenagers who I work with, you know, they come to me with the topic. Maybe they say, you know, I'm not getting good results at school. My school grades are suffering. It always starts off like this. But then once I have a few sessions with them, you know, we get down to what's really causing them to feel not themselves and lacking self-confidence. And it always comes to the same thing. You know, the words that they're saying to themselves, they're being very unkind to themselves. And then you were saying, you know, what can we do to help them? And I think it's just simple. It's not anything complicated, I don't think. It's just simply, you know, giving them that space to be themselves, express what's going on in their mind, you know, and asking them powerful questions so they can challenge maybe the thoughts that they're having, make them be conscious of the thoughts. I guess that's the first thing, allowing them to be conscious of what they're actually thinking. And making them realize that they can actually change their thoughts, and they don't have to believe everything that they're telling themselves, you know. So that's what we normally start with. What are they thinking? What are they telling themselves every day? And do they really believe that? Where does that come from? You know, and how about saying something nice to yourself every morning instead of putting yourself down, you know. And once they realize that, and then they start actually doing that themselves, and sometimes they write affirmations on the mirror, it could be something quite simple like that, you know, they realize that it actually makes them feel better about themselves. Tiny steps.
How has technology changed, you know, the, because you know, you've said it stems from a personal story as well. I mean, let's yes. not go into that, but how has technology changed the scenario that youth experience from a hardship from a hardship perspective?
Yeah, no, good question. I think there's a few things. I think the number one thing is, you know, maybe teenagers nowadays and people in general are spending much more time by themselves, and their social life is actually on Instagram or social media. You know, they're talking to their friends through these apps. And I think that's the biggest problem, really, because then they're spending all this time alone. You know, they're not actually with people face to face. And I think that can be so damaging if you spend too much time alone, you know, because then you think of your problems much more. You feel like you're the only one who's going through certain things. You're not talking to people naturally. So I think that's the first thing. And then also, of course, social media isn't real, is it? You know, nobody's showing what's really going on. So you're on your own. Imagine you're on your own in your room. You're not feeling very well. Maybe you just had a bad day. You're feeling sad, alone. But then you look on social media and it looks like everybody's having an amazing time. And of course, it's not true. So you're comparing somebody's fantasy dream to your bad day or something. And then that's going to make you feel even more alone. And I think that can be so dangerous. And, you know, sometimes it happens to us as well, doesn't it? Adults, you know. So I think they're the two things, really. So it's...
Yeah. I think, would you say that the struggles maybe are one despite the technological advances in the way we communicate, like whether it was your struggles back in the day in adolescence now, are you seeing a different trend that's more prevailing, like people needing more connectivity or relationship struggles, or is it just mainly the adolescent phase where someone's understanding their identity and that's just mainly the challenge that, you know, doesn't really change from time to time?
Yeah, I think that's a good question as well, because we are struggling with our identity at that, we're finding our identity at that time, aren't we? I mean, I'm looking back to my experience, you know, when I had depression in my teens for like 8 years. So, and that was a terrible time for me. And I felt so alone and so disconnected. And of course, there wasn't social media then. So I don't think, I mean, I guess I'm just comparing my experience, but I don't think it's necessarily much harder for teenagers now. I think it's always been hard, actually. But I think now we're talking about it more. So we're more aware of these mental health problems, but they've always been there. You know, they've always been there. Like, I know, because I went through it. And I think it depends how you look at it, doesn't it? Because obviously when I was a teenager and I went through my depression, nobody really knew about it and nobody spoke about it. So I just felt so alone. But I didn't have social media, so maybe I was with people more, so that helped. But then now you have the awareness is there. People are talking about mental health problems, but you do have social media, so people are maybe more alone. So I think it's the same, really, just different pros and cons.
I love how you framed that. I loved how you framed that, because it's literally kind of, you know, it's the chicken or the egg situation where it's really a paradox, let alone more than anything else. What's one thing you would really wish your 13-year-old self knew that you know right now?
That something about perfection, you know, perfection doesn't exist. It's okay just to be, you don't have to be perfect. And that's actually another thing that, you know, lots of teenagers come to me, you know, the reason they're being unkind to themselves is because they want to be perfect. And they even say that to me, I want to be perfect. I want to be perfect at school. I want to be the perfect child. I want to have the perfect body, the perfect this, perfect that. And I'm like, that's never going to happen. You know, there's a lot about perfection, and maybe that comes from social media. But then saying that, I felt that as well at 13. I wanted to be perfect. Yeah. I wanted to be the most popular, the best at this, the best at that. And actually, when I ask teenagers, why do you want to be perfect? A lot of the time they say, because I don't want to be criticized or bullied by other people. But then they criticize themselves. So I don't know. It's, you know, it's very complex.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's such a whirlwind of a...
Yes.
Of an age that it truly yes. breaks you. And I think that what I see is, you know, adolescents who develop strong personalities and that can come through various different things, such as team sports activities, whatever that might be, to build resilience.
Yeah.
I think it really does help a little bit, but you're definitely the expert here. I think, is there something that, you know, that inspires you about the times that we're going through right now, whether it's be in the region or in the world? Is there something that you see? Because, you know, as a youth well-being expert yourself, there are pros right now and there are cons, you know, in the time that we're living. And I think to anybody listening to us right now, everybody's having, to a certain degree, a tough time. But where are you seeing mental health and well-being in this region going in the next few years? Do you see an adoption at the rate that you're expecting? How is tech going to be a part of this conversation? Is tech a part of this conversation? And how can we contribute as individuals?
Wow. good questions. I think, okay, so this region, I mean, the great thing is everybody seems to be talking about it now. Whatever the intention is, everybody's talking about it. So that's got to be a good thing. Yeah, it has to be a good thing. We're talking about it. We're feeling safer to talk about it, maybe safer than before. Of course, there's still a massive stigma attached to it, of course. And I think that will take a long, long time, because I think people are still probably scared to say how they're really feeling, especially at work or something like that, or maybe at school. So I think, but we've started, we're on, you know, we've taken the first step. So I think it's going in a positive direction, but I do think it will take a long time. I really do. I mean, I might be wrong, but I feel like we're just scratching the surface now.
What's one thing you wish you saw in a technology that, you know, you just don't see right now for young adolescents? What's, if you had a magic wand to flip and say, you know, you know, wish-washy in 3 seconds, what would you absolutely have right in front of you that would instantly be a resource that you wish you had?
Oh, okay. Something like, it might already be there, but maybe you would press, you know, a button or something. What do I do if I'm feeling this emotion or something? So you would press something about emotions. How do I manage this emotion? Or I'm not sure what though, but something around that, because I think emotions are everything, aren't they? Once we can manage our emotions, I think we can manage everything.
So everything's about a plug and play sort of thing, like click this if you're feeling, and then a personalized experience or like a meditation or something that's your aha.
Yes.
Come up or yes. You know, choose from.
Or they will say to you, right, you know, where is it in your body? Where's this emotion in your body? They'll kind of like coach you through the emotion. Because I think, you know, I do coach myself sometimes, but of course it's not the same when I have somebody there, but you can't always have somebody there.
Yeah.
But having the other person in front of you is just amazing. So if you could just, you know, I'm feeling this emotion, give me a technique and they coach you through it, I think that would be a lifesaver. And then you would do it yourself as well. But yeah, that's what I would love.
Like self CBT or like different, you know, techniques that it's almost like a menu, you know, that you order.
Yes. Visualizations, processing emotions. That's what I love doing when I have somebody there, a coach. Yeah.
I love, love, love that, Jasmine. I love speaking. Just before we kind of wrap up, this is a quick fire round. Are you okay to kind of shoot some questions over your way?
Oh, sorry, say that again.
Like, this is a quick fire round. Are you good with two questions for us to kind of fire up?
Yes, yes.
Perfect. So, Jasmine, what is your favorite book, and what book would you recommend our listeners today?
Well, actually, I don't have a favorite one, but. Should I just tell you the last one that I read?
Absolutely.
You probably read it. No, but the strange thing that happened with that is I was at work. I was doing a project and I was thinking about this book, and I'm not joking. It just appeared on my desk. I still don't know where it has come from. So I thought, okay, I need to read it, you know, and it's The Four Agreements. I'm sure you've.
Wow. I did. Yeah.
Really,
yeah,
read it. It's not my favorite book. I do love it though, but it just appeared. This is what I find very, very strange, Ali. It just appeared and I still don't know where it's come from. And so I'm like, right, I must read this because I've been thinking about reading it anyway. But actually a book that I absolutely loved, loved, loved was The Untethered Soul.
The Untethered Soul. And why so?
I actually listened to the audio. It was about 6 hours. And I was like, how am I going to listen to that? And I listened to it twice. I just couldn't stop myself because it was just all about, our thoughts. And I just remember he kept talking. I can't remember his name, but he kept talking about how death is the biggest teacher and how that puts things into perspective. And it just resonated with me so much. And he gave like techniques, really simple techniques, and it's awareness of your thoughts again. And like, you're not your thoughts, you know, they're just always there, but you're not your thoughts. And when you realize that, I mean, it just kind of sets you free. I felt like that book set me free a little bit. So it was really powerful and I need to listen to it again, actually.
The Untethered Soul. I definitely put that on my list.
Please do it.
What's one quote you want to leave our listeners with today, or one quote that you really, really, really strongly feel connected or resonated to?
Wow, there's so many. One today was resonant for me today. I just feel like something about, I can't actually think of a quote, but something about just appreciating now, like living in the now. This is what I'm really trying to do, you know, not worry about the future, not think about the past. I don't know. Is there a quote about just living?
This is absolutely enough. I think just living in the now. This is a very powerful statement.
Yeah. And not planning, not trying to plan anything too much, you know, not being attached to anything, not forcing anything, just really trying to just be present in my body. Yeah.
Jasmine, thank you so, so, so much. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners? Where can our listeners find you if they want to connect with you, invite you for a really, really cool engagement, or have their adolescent or have their younger brother or sister reach out to you? Where can they find you?
Withnava is my Instagram. Withnava.com is my website. And then my name on my LinkedIn, Jasmine Navarro.
Sure. We'll definitely link those, Jasmine, in the podcast show notes. And again, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate
Thank you so much, Ali. Thank you.
Do feel free to share it with your friends. Drop us a rating on Apple. Subscribe to the show. Follow it on Spotify. And we'll see you soon in a new episode of Empathy Always Wins. Take care and have a lovely day, guys.